Hello and welcome back to the Chaos Zone TV stage. Our next talk is What is Algorave? And our speaker will be Alexandra Cardenas. And she will talk to us about how you can practically create new spaces with algorithmic and generative dance music, and so I think this is a very exciting topic. I'm very keen to hear what she will tell us in a few seconds, and yeah, so please give her a warm welcome, because as I heard, it's her first time on the Chaos event, and so yeah, welcome Alexandra.
I'm a bit nervous. I will need a couple of minutes to calm down, because really it's a big moment for me to be here with you all. I've been dreaming about this for years. I'm very happy you have opened the space for me and for the practice that I do, and I will talk about it now. So my name is Alexandra Cárdenas. Thank you, Seahawks, for introducing me. My hashtag is Tiempos del Ruido. And I am part of Top Lab Berlin. I will tell you right now what it means. I'm a composer of music, so my training is of musician. I discovered programming around 12 years ago, so I'm quite new. I feel very noob in the world of programming, but that's now how I make my music. So you will hear most of the things I will talk about will be from the point of view of a musician. And thank you very much again to have me here and open this space. Okay, so Algorave, it's a mix of the words algorithm and rave. And it started as a joke, this name, but I will tell you later about the joke. But it is an event where people dance to music generated from algorithms, often using live coding techniques. Some of you, I think a lot of you have heard what live coding is, but we tend to use the wording live coding referring to performative arts that are using coding for it. So live coding is a technique for writing or performing music, visuals, poetry, dance, and pretty much anything in real time through the engagement of computer algorithms. As I said before, I'm a musician, so I will talk a lot about music in live coding, and actually it was through music that live coding started, but now it is a very multidisciplinary world, and we have people making literature, dancing, visuals. It is a performing art form centered upon the writing of source code and interactive programming in an improvised way. It is a new research domain where computer science blends with the performing arts. It is also a globally distributed community that aims to open safe spaces to create performative arts and share knowledge in an inclusive, diverse, and transparent way. So I want to that we think about live coding as many things, no? It's not only a technique or a performing art. It is also a space for research, very well based in the academy also, but also independent research. And it's also a community. So as live coders for performing arts, we have gathered through the years. Live coding in this way has started for about 20 years. And we have created a manifesto that you can see here. This manifesto can be seen in the toplab.org, as you can see at the top of the screen. That's the Toplab, which is an anagram of laptop, is the organization of live coders around the world. And if you visit the Toplab website, you will find not only our manifesto, but you will find the forums, the chats, the notes that are dispersed around the globe. I represent TopLab Berlin today, but you will find in many cities in Germany, we have in Düsseldorf, in Leipzig, in Hamburg, of course. Actually, the AlgoWave was born in Hamburg. So here I want to tell you a bit about what is our main philosophies. Of course, this is not set in stone. It's not like if you don't feel these rules, it is not life coding. Actually, it's quite flexible. And this is a manifesto in which we as life coders think about all the time how to amplify it, how to evolve it, how to complete it. So the first point that I want us to see is that we demand access to the performer's mind, the whole human instrument. So you will see that life coding is more about the process more than the product, which is a very nice way to see music from a different point of view from the music industry. Because with music industry, we have learned that we have to have products ready to sell. And with the live coding community, we're trying to go back to the feeling of creating music and arts in a communal way. And we share the process of it. Obscurantism is dangerous. Show us your screens. You will see that live coders love to share their screens and to show their errors when they get errors in the code. We speak with the audience when we write, we type in our codes. Programs are instruments, but the program is to be transcended. All these are things that more or less define our philosophy, especially about sharing in the community. No? So I would pretty much ask you to go to toplab.org. And if you're interested in learning more about live coding, and you can enter in contact with live coders around the world. And if you want to meet them physically, you can look for the node more close to your city. Now I want to show you a little bit an example of what live coding is. Shelley Knotts and Glenn Fraser, they presented this in Mutec, Spain, earlier this year. And you will see that Shelley uses a software called Super Collider, which is very used actually with this software is that live coding was born. And let's see, Glenn Fraser uses a software that he created for coding the shaders in real time. So I'm gonna play a little bit of the video and maybe we'll skim some parts because it's a 14 minutes video, but I want to show you at least 3 or 4 minutes of it. The first Listening. This performance, I find it very special, and you can find it on YouTube. I will let you know in a bit where you can find it. And I want to come back to it. Sorry, going out of full screen, it's a bit mess. Can you hear me well? Yeah. All right, so. Yeah, Life Coders. Here it comes. So, okay, you only saw a couple of minutes of it, but I wonder if you can see a bit what I will talk about reflected in the video we saw before. Life Coders create different genres of music. So, all music that is subject to be described as patterns of sound can be life coded. And as a musician, well, my opinion is that every music can be described as patterns algorithmically. So it's not only that we do techno music or abstract electronic music, we can really live code all kinds of music and of course all types of visuals. Live coders deal with written language for the description of music and visuals, and this new interface for a musician, in my case, it opened completely a new world of possibilities when I'm not attached to the physical instrument, to the response one-to-one. Like, for instance, I was a classical guitarist that I had when I pulled the screen and I heard one sound. Here, I press a key and I can have infinite sounds, infinite possibilities, infinite processes. And also talking in the digitalization of music and the use of DAWs, for instance, digital work stations. Usually you have in commercial software, you have buttons and flashes and faders and things that look like an amplifier. Instead, when we're talking about code, we describe things with words and with a language that the machine and the human understand. So it's already a different thing, no? And we like to improvise. Life coders improvise. We find the joy in dealing with the unexpected, seeing what errors do we get, how is the response of the audience to. That affect us a lot too. So improvisation is a big part of the live coding practice. Live coders write, rewrite, and manipulate in real time a system that creates music. Still, live coders are the composers of the music. The software becomes a composition and a piece of art itself. So, of course, when we started seeing the computer as a musical instrument, as a new musical instrument, and then we have some artists that basically press play in the computer A lot of people think that, well, if the computer is doing the music, you're not the composer. And this is a very debatable thing, and this is a point that we have a lot of discussion, how life is really life coding. We are composing the music in real time. And then if you are writing the software, if you are skilled enough to write your own software, the software becomes a composition and a piece of art itself. And to keep in mind is that we are performing generative art in real time. So that's another, it brings us other ways to think about, time, to think about control, how much control do we have in our performance. So we deal with algorithms during the performance, change them, deleting them, writing new ones. Sometimes we even write them from scratch. And a very important thing is that we focus on open source, free and libre software. And the hacker philosophy is a big part of our philosophy too. So we have a lot of things in common. Live coders write their software or contribute to the development of existing 16 software or not. Like, I feel I have contributed to certain software with ideas, like a musician, from the point of view of a musician, I would like to do that. But even though I don't have the programming skills to help with the development or create my own software, it doesn't mean that you're not contributing in any way. We meet online and physically whenever possible, but it's true that we have been meeting online since the beginning. So we have created a global distributed community. A lot of us haven't met in person yet. But so actually when the pandemic occurred, we were already well connected on the internet and we started giving concerts and even more than before online. And as I told you before, we like to show our screens. So now that we know what the live coding is, we can talk again. What is the algorave? Algorave is a movement inside the live coding community which aims to create a rave in which the music and visuals are made in real time with algorithms. The general idea is to create a communal space of abandon, much like a rave, in which the focus goes significantly into the process of creation of music and visuals which are being shared on the screens. And also, like someone in Japan recently developed a system in which we can manage this live code, the stage management, and live code the lights, for instance. That's something we have been very interested in. An algorave, as I mentioned before, from algorithm and rave, is an event where people dance to music generated from algorithms, often using live coding techniques. Alex McLean, it's a name you will hear a lot because he's one of the creators of the whole movement, and he wrote the software that is most used in this moment for making music, live coded music, which is called Tidal Cycles. And Nick Collins, a composer, both of them are from the UK, coined the word algorave in 2011, and the first ever event under such a name was organized in London in 2012. It has since become a movement with algoraves taking place around the world. Oh yeah, I wanted to mention before the next slide that the name algorave came from a joke because they were already doing live coding and Alex McLean and Nicholas Collins, they were traveling and they decided they say that, what about if we did live coding but with beats? Oh yeah, it would be like a rave, like an algorithmic rave. So it started as a joke, but now it's a big movement around the world. Okay, as I mentioned before, algoraves can include a range of styles, including a complex form of minimal techno And the movement has been described as a meeting point of hacker philosophy, geek culture, and clubbing. Although live coding is commonplace, any algorithmic music is welcome. And although algorithmic musicians have been compared to DJs, they are in fact live musicians or improvisers creating music live, usually by writing or modifying code rather than mixing recorded music. So it has been a bit of a, well, if this is a DJ or not, and of course we can do DJ sets, live coded DJ sets, much as the same a DJ can do live sets making their own music, no? So the difference mostly is that we're dealing with code. And how did it start? So Super Collider, as I mentioned before, was the software that started everything. Super Collider had symposiums many, many years, and in 2012, they made the first Algorave. I joined in the next year in 2013, when I was in Mexico City, because after the UK, Mexico was the place where this practice hit really, really hard. And now we have a very, very vibrant scene in Mexico. I was living in Mexico at the time, though I am originally from Colombia. And now it is really everywhere. The first self-proclaimed Algorave was held in London. And Algorave has been growing into an international movement, with Algoraves having held physically in Europe, Asia, and America, and global online Algorave events with Algoravers from all over the world. So I invite you to see the page of the Algorave. You will find there links to social media, artists. One thing that also, please follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Like our aim is to be quite, to share our knowledge. And we have a code of conduct in which we try to separate from the usual tech communities that are not welcoming to women or to people who are not experts. And so if you are just considering to enter and to see, be confident that you will be treated with respect and you will be welcomed, and we will give you all the information you need to join the community. We have, instead of Boiler Room, we have our own channel called Euler Room, because of the mathematician. And it is in YouTube, and you will find hundreds of hours of performances from around the world, from different events we make. So if you look for Euler Room on YouTube, you will find a lot of beautiful material. Now I just want to talk a bit about the Algo Afro Futures. It is a project not necessarily from the Algorave. I just wanted to let you know a bit how we are making a big effort to become inclusive, to welcome women, people who suffer racism, and with people with disabilities. Like, we are opening our community, our knowledge to other people that are not usually the white man you see making electronic music. And so there's so much to see in the Euler Room, as I mentioned. But one example I want to give you is this Algo Afro Futures made by Antonio Roberts. I didn't need to do this. I can play it from here. Antonio Roberts is a live coder. He started making visuals, but now he's doing music too. And which is something that characterizes a lot our community. Like, for instance, I have made music all my life, and very recently I have started doing visuals. Programmers who want to start doing music, they can do it. Musicians who want to learn programming, they can do it. Live coding has been also been implemented in some schools and universities already in Europe. And myself personally, I have given a lot of workshops to different kinds of persons, not only musicians, not only coders, but kids who are deciding what to do, what is what they like. And live coding is a great way to introduce people to music and to programming, to arts and computer science. So it's a beautiful meeting point. It's a melting pot of ideas, of disciplines. So if you want to start doing music, this is a great, great way to do it. Or if you want to start programming, please take a look at what we're doing. This is an effort that Antonio Roberts and Alex McLean made in Birmingham, in which they mentored four Black artists into live coding. So I want us to see a little bit of the results.
Is probably, and live coding is basically people making music and visuals using programming, using algorithms. There's various software that we use for this. I've enjoyed doing that for a very long time. But one thing that myself and Alex have noticed is that whilst algorithms and live coding, the scene, the community is very good at addressing gender issues and making sure that all of the events are very gender balanced, it's not so good at tackling diversity issues with race and ethnicity. And so you may have seen it, but just not.
Just a bit. You're very welcome to see this video in our channel Euler Room. Well, as we don't have much time, I will go further with another artist from this, Rosa Francesca. Running out, so I will go to another examples I have for you. This video, this can be pretty much part of an algo rave. It's not that we need to make dancing music from an algo rave. You will find sometimes very weird music, very music that is noisy, and sometimes mostly it has nothing to do with what we know commercially, like dance music. It's not like techno that is going to make you dance. Sometimes it's very weird, and sometimes, but that's the joy of it, no? That it's so unique, the algo rave. This one is a very much algo rave set. This is Rafrobeat from Colombia. He uses a lot of Colombian popular and traditional music, and I'll show you.
The veins of Latin America.
Tonight we will have an algo rave in virtual reality, and you all are very invited. We will have a link for it in our assembly. Our assembly is called Top Lab Berlin, and please come. We will start our party at 7:30 p.m. Berlin time, and you will be able to see Rafrobeat playing live from Colombia. And you will see also artists from Italy, Germany, the UK, Argentina, Colombia, USA. And we will keep the virtual reality hub open so you can visit us until the end of the Congress. We will be there. I want to mention Alex McLean. He's the one who wrote Tidal Cycles, the software we have seen in the last videos being used. It is written in Haskell, so it's a very nice way to do music in a functional programming language. I want to show you a bit of this performance that I love. He made in Tokyo some years ago, in 2018. So you can see how he uses code. Yeah, some minutes of this nice performance. Dancing already, and you can dance tonight too if you come to our Algo Rave that we prepared especially for the Congress. We made a beautiful Mozilla Hubs space for TopLab Berlin, so you are very welcome to join us tonight. The link is in TopLab Berlin, TopLab with P. Please look for it in Twitter. I have posted there the links. And if you are looking in the assemblies, we are Top Lab because we made our lab there. So it's our hack space and you will find the links there. Come visit us. If you want to become one of us, an Algo Raver or a live coder, please join us in toplab.org, as I mentioned before. And we have here some this. If you Google awesome live coding, you will find this beautiful GitHub repository with a lot of information about live coding in AlgoRave. And of course, we have an AlgoRave code of conduct, which is we are inclusive. Please be respectful, be nice to each other. And of course, just to mention briefly that we have done some AlgoRaves in virtual reality. And this is more or less what you will find tonight. Where you can wear your avatars. future is not written yet, and you can be part of this uncertain future if you want. So thank you very much for having me. My 40 minutes of talk are done, and I'm open to questions. And if you have any question, please. Thank you, Xerox.
Yeah, thank you, Alexandra. I don't know whether we're already live
yet back in Potsdam. Can I? Okay. All right. So I guess we're back in Potsdam. So thank you, Alexandra, very much for your awesome talk. I was also a bit moving to the music that you played. So definitely something to check out and to dance to. And what would you say? How easy is it as a newcomer to get into the area of algo rave? Like, if you have never coded before, or for example, or you're just new to music and improvisation, composition, these kind of things.
It is actually quite easy, a big effort. The community has made a big effort to make languages that are easy to use. For example, the title cycles that we saw in the end, you saw a lot of complex functions that Alex made, because he's the one who wrote the software. He knows it better than anyone else. But actually, when I teach, we can start making sounds immediately with very, very simple code. With a couple of instructions, you can start doing it. So for me, it was hard years ago, because I started with Super Collider, and Super Collider, it's a wonderful, super powerful software, open source, but it has quite a steep learning curve. So I had to do I had to repeat the introductory course in Mexico when I wanted to learn Super Collider, and I still feel like a noob, but it has given me all the tools I need to for my profession. I'm a professional musician, and my main tool is Super Collider and Tidal Cycles. So it has a big range. You can learn it very quickly if you're interested. And if, the good thing about the algorithm is that we are open to, for instance, tonight, we will have two people who have never performed before in an algorithm. So we're not looking for stars or, we are welcoming newcomers all the time. So you get to try your things in very, very rapidly. Once you have some sounds to show, we will be very happy to hear you playing them. So it's quite a celebratory environment.
That sounds wonderful. I think it's like in every community, it's crucial to that the community itself is open and welcoming also to newcomers, because I feel that a lot of communities have those unwritten rules, and of course you can't know them from the start. And so it's very, very good to when you say that the Algorave community is open and welcoming, and you're allowed to do mistakes. And what you said about the different programs that you have, I personally found myself, there's, for example, in the image manipulation programs, of course, you have the big tools that everybody uses, like Photoshop. But then, for example, if I just want to crop something out of my picture, I just need a tool that does that and doesn't have all the power. So I guess from what you said, the different softwares that you have in the Algorave community, sounds that it's quite similar. Another question that I have is, you said about the Algorave community is also quite inclusive and wants to bring down barriers for people that might not be inside your community yet, be it physically challenged or disabled people, or for example people from all over the world. What would you say? How big is your effort, but at what phase are you already? Are you quite still at the beginning to reach out to other people? How much work needs still to be done?
Yeah, it has been a constant work with the Algorave that now is the 10th anniversary, and with the Live Coding 20th anniversary. We have, I feel, is the most well-balanced community I know in tech and in arts, both, in my experience. So that's why I thrive so much in this community, because I feel very well-balanced. Still, even though we have a lot of people from other races, still is very much most of the people in the Algorithm LiveCon community are white. But what we do is a big work on understanding what can we do to decolonize ourselves. We just recently had the International Live Coding community, and we were discussing this very, very much in depth, how, from the social point of view, how can we, each one, no matter which background we have, which race, which gender we are, how can we help to make these barriers lower and spread the word of this community that is so welcoming. But still, if you see people who are not white in the community, we are the still less people. So this is a big effort we have to make, and we will continue making. But as far as I know, and I have a good overview of how the community is doing, everywhere in the world where there's an Algorave, you will find someone who is the organizers follow also a code of conduct in which we know that we need to strive for diversity. Also, when we give workshops, we do a lot of workshops for women only, for instance, because it's necessary for the equity of the whole thing, equality. So if we need to open spaces ourselves, for me, the effort of being here has been an effort to open a space now to tell you you're welcome, and let's think together in another ways of making music, in another ways of having parties, of teaching to each other, and to bring ideas that sadly capitalism and the industry had made us believe that music is only this, when actually music is something infinite and belongs to all of us, no? So you don't need to have a special age, race, special system. You can make music with a Raspberry Pi if you use Sonic Pi, for instance. So that's our effort. It still needs a lot. We need a lot of things to make. But I hope, for instance, we can be here next year again, and we can still be showing what we do. And we're proud of the work we have done. So, yeah, thank you.
You're totally welcome. I think this is a great It has a lot of potential still, and from what I have seen and what I've heard, it's already quite wonderful that what you have. And I haven't heard about Algorave before, and I will, if time allows, I will definitely check out your session later that evening at 7:30 p.m. At Toppler Berlin. And let's continue with questions from the interwebs. There's one question: where can I find a quick start from setting up the tools to hearing the first sounds? Like, is there a tutorial that one could find?
If you go to Tidal Cycles website, I'm showing my screen, so let's go together. One thing I say is let's go to awesome live coding. You will find a repository in GitHub. I recommend this one a lot because it has a very comprehensive list of the languages we use, libraries, tools, websites, community. Please come to the community. If you want to have sounds like now, there are two good options. Estuary is the first one, which is a platform for networking music. So if you and I open a... it opened the Discord because we're in community. But let's go to Estuary, McMaster.ca. It is the University of McMaster in Canada. The teacher there, David Ogborn, along with his students and some other collaborators, have created these platforms, which aims exactly to this, to so we can start making sounds right now. Oh, internet, but I hope you at home can access it. You will find a tutorial. Everything is very well explained. The idea is, for instance, wherever you are and me, we could start playing together. Maybe it's my internet that is not going right now. Maybe I'm using my band for the, I don't know. But usually, or maybe the server is busy. Everybody's live coding in this moment in Estuary.
Maybe all of the combined chaos is now on the server. We don't know.
They're the language you want to play. I recommend, of course, Tidal Cycles. It must be here in the list. But let's go to the Tidal Cycles, which is the most used one for making music. It's the one that of the last video I showed. And the thing is that it is in Haskell and it has been a bit difficult to install. But in the documentation, you can follow the install title. It has some bootstraps for Macintosh, no? And if you have troubles installing, please reach the community. The other one that is super easy to install and has great tutorial is SonicPy. SonicPy, the live coding music synth for everyone. So these languages, Tidal Cycle and SonicPy, are controllers for Super Collider, the one I mentioned before, that is quite a difficult software to learn. So these are efforts of the people in the live coding community to make it easier to learn and to make it easier to perform. When you're performing, you get so nervous. Sometimes you miss a comma, you miss a parenthesis. So they have created these languages that are quite needless characters, and you can make more complex and beautiful things with simple code. SonicPy, you can download it and install it immediately, and the tutorial is fantastic. In 1 minute, you can start making sounds. So yeah, I welcome you to see this. So keep this list in hand, because if you want to make, for instance, visuals, let's go to Hydra from Olivia Duck. Hydra live coding, I don't remember exactly the address. Hydra. It has the GitHub, of course, it's wonderful. Everything's open source. You can fork it, you can use it. So, for instance, if you want to start making visuals, you can start now. To get started, close this window, change some numbers, and type Ctrl-Shift-Enter to run the code. So let's say this is the code. So you see the community is sharing their algorithms, no? So let's say, okay, I want to see what happens if instead of us 30, I put 10 here. And how is it, multi-line? Yeah, you see I got, instead of 30 oscillations, I got 130. And if I get one, and like this, I am live coding now. I am live coding my visuals with some an algorithm that Celeste Betancourt made. And yeah, this is quite fun, and you can try it at home. And you can use it for your concerts. And this is the most used software in for the algorithm. You will see tonight that we have a lot of things with Hydra. So Estuary, when we want to collaborate, we can go to, I'm going to create an ensemble for the RC3. And now we don't need any passwords, let's say, if it lets me. Are we on time? Yeah. Enter username. Yes.
I'm sorry, but I think we've run out of time. So, but maybe as a final question for the projects that you showed just now, for example, but also especially the videos and other things, the links that you showed, will it be available somewhere, or should we discuss this afterwards?
Yes, I'm gonna put all this in our assembly, in the Top Lab Berlin assembly, which, where is the link?
All right.
All right. Yeah. I think. Yet. Let. Also. We will publish those things at. To find, of course, Top Lab Berlin, and also this tonight's session, and so that you are well prepared and well informed about the Algorave community. How about that?
Excellent.
So just. Yeah, so at 7:30 p.m. tonight, go check out Top Lab Berlin and the Algo VR session, and once again a warm thank you for this wonderful talk, Alexandra.
Thank